Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
From Heritage Radio and Thrillist, it's Serial, a podcast about Serial.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm Ben Robinson, editorial director of Thrillist, the website that tells you where to eat cereal and also every other food ever in more than 30 cities around the cereal mag globe.
I'm Oliver Kramer. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. I'm from Dos Toros Taqueria, and we teach you how to eat burritos here in New York City.
I'm Leo Kramer. I, too, am from Dos Toros Taqueria. We're brothers. We're the co-founders. We love burritos and cereal, pretty much in that order.
Okay, well, thank you for blowing my introduction that I took probably 45 to 75 minutes to write. But as they said, they're brothers. We covered that. They're business partners. They're responsible for me personally going from 3% body fat to about 3.7% body fat.
You look incredible.
Yeah, I got that. They're the stars of the wildly popular burrito pun-based hip-hop tracks Guac It Out and Black Her Pinto.
And today released our third music video.
Get out of here.
Today.
99
this
tacos. Morning.
This is incredible.
99 tacos.
But
a fish ain't one.
It's pretty happening.
So here we have them, the Carnitas Kings of New York City, Leo and Oliver Kramer. What's up? What's happening? Let's talk about this video, I guess, real quick.
It's a culmination of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So it's based on 99 Problems by Jay-Z. And we just felt like it's time to start some beef, literally, with fish tacos, which we, can't abide by and don't serve. And we wanted to rap about that.
Is this like a NorCal SoCal thing?
I think a little bit. Yeah. I think SoCal is definitely more famous for the fish taco. Up north, we keep the meats terrestrial, which is a line from the song, chicken, steak, and of course our carnitas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our secret is that we actually love fish tacos, but we don't serve them at Dos Toros, and thus we rap about
it. Not only do we not serve them, but we were asked by a lot of friends and people that we meet to serve them. So it's not like we're annoyed by it, but there's a little, this is like a, if people ask us from now on, we can just direct them to
watch the video.
Right.
Hey, I like it. Hit them hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's say we were going to make a cereal rap video.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are wizards at this. You know exactly what you're doing. What the hell would be happening in a cereal rap video? What would we call it?
Well, you got to find your song that you want to parody.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. What's up? What's a hot track right now? What are you
currently?
Doing? Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
You got
Bruno. Bruno Venus.
Yeah,
that like guy.
Uptown Puffs.
Uh huh.
Something mm-hmm. like that. And just explore the space, basically, and just free associate.
These songs don't write themselves.
No, they don't. Based on, I'm going to give like an early reveal on our one of our cereals of the week here, which is. Wait, you guys don't even know, no. Fruity Pebbles. So I got a couple off that, maybe Beastie Boys style, Fruit Down, my Fruit Down.
Fruit Down, that's good.
Another little B.I.G. homage, which you should definitely do. Give me the fruit, give me the fruit.
Mm.
And then you shoot a bunch of people. and then this one's not the cereal of the week, but, maybe the all the other kids with the lumped up kicks. And it's just a bunch of kicks that got, all lumpy because they were in. This isn't hip hop, obviously.
Yeah.
It was like a popular song.
Totally.
You guys know that one.
Yeah. The
it's like too much milk.
The
they can't stand up
the
to the
song.
Milk.
Yeah, right.
The problem is kicks, which I can't. No, that's not on my list of cereals. You like kicks? Are you a kicks fan?
I think Kix is some very simple properties that make it
Kix is either
very
the cereal
appealing to some simple people.
The kids that aren't really allowed to eat sweet cereals, that's like their big mm-hmm. exciting cereals, the Kix, and you can tell that they're lame because that's what they get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Or conversely, you know, it's kind of a throwaway in my opinion.
The thing about cereals, it's like arguing about religion or politics. You know, it's your childhood. It's your associations. People get emotional immediately, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's also sugar, grams of sugar.
It's drugs. You're talking about, you're arguing about your childhood drugs. It's going to get emotional.
So your childhood was full of sugary cereals, politics, and religion?
Mostly cereal.
Mainly politics.
And mostly sugary cereals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had an interesting
upbringing. What were you guys going through?
I mean, our parents were, I think, are pretty health conscious, and there wasn't like lots of fun, sweet options in the house.
Right, there were never dessert after dinner. Dessert wasn't really a thing.
There was like, no soda.
We didn't really have ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just were deprived of sugar, basically. But for whatever reason, I don't know, I think both our parents are immigrants. Our dad's from England, our mom's from Israel. I think for whatever reason, cereal got a pass, a total pass. All cereals
were turned loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, so we just had, I mean, we had everything. We had Lucky Charms and Apple Jacks and Cocoa Puffs, and that was our dessert. That was our sweet food.
Fruit Loops, Fruity Pebbles, yeah, Cocoa Krispies.
Did they not know? Like, did they like the something in translation?
I think they felt
from
like it
also
was,
English.
I think they felt like it was part of America,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want to deprive us for whatever reason of that cultural experience.
That's deep.
It's weird.
And
you
it's
can't
true.
Explain it.
Most of our friends were like, they'd come over and they'd be like, are you kidding me?
You have no food to eat except the best selection of cereal I've right. ever seen.
Yeah. So like, how many boxes would you have in a rotation, let's say? You go into the pantry.
Five. Four or five typically in the rotation. One of them would be healthier, mm-hmm. a Honey Nut Cheerios, a regular Cheerios, but of course you got to splice in a little bit of sliced banana or just straight up sugar. Just pour sugar into your milk and Cheerios. That's happened.
Right, that's the poor man's Honey Nut Cheerios. It's just regular Cheerios.
No, that's a place that I never personally went as a child. And I've had, since starting this, I've had a couple of experiences where people are like, wait, you don't do this? And I tried it, and I literally had no idea how to do it. I don't know if I was expecting the sugar to just kind of attach itself to the Cheerios, but no, it's on the bottom. You got to do some scraping. Like, you got to go excavate that sugar.
You do. And when you get down to the milk at the end of the bowl, you got to be careful because that last little bit of milk packs a real punch.
Oh, it's great. And obviously, I had over-poured. Like, oh, it's like, well, there's still none. I'm just going to keep going over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty wild, you know, hour after that for me.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have put maybe a little simple syrup for the
So
it dissolve a little better. I'm a nice coffee for mm-hmm. I had one 30 minutes ago.
So you're pretty jacked up right now.
I'm pretty jacked up right now.
Yeah, my fake healthy cereal from that time period was Raisin Nut Bran, which is delicious. And because it's got bran in the name, everyone just assumes mm-hmm. it's completely
and some
healthy.
Raisins.
Wait, so is this Raisin Bran just with nuts added, or is this an entirely
different
product?
I think you mean
product? Raisin Bran. No. How can you say that?
Sorry.
Raisin Nut Bran, my man, is it's what you they have these things in there. I don't know what they are. They're raisins wrapped in nuts. But how do you wrap something in a nut? I don't know. They created some kind of
nut
meal that they wrapped around the raisins. Mm-hmm. And it was like crunchy and kept its crunch pretty well throughout the eating process. And I was reading the nutrition facts, as I was wont to do with my cereals, and comparing it side by side with like Cocoa Puffs. And it was identically unhealthy.
They pretty much all are.
Yeah.
I think Grape Nuts, which we had on the second episode of this show, which is just a wild, wild episode, were about the same as a box of Lucky Charms. It was pretty crazy.
Really?
Yeah, they had like more riboflavin.
Off the charts
riboflavin.
Craving some riboflavin.
Sugar about the same.
That's the funnest nutrient, right?
Oh, by far. Yeah, it's got lots of syllables, and it does something for you.
How has it not been appropriated by like an MC or DJ or something?
Could be in our rap song.
This is it, guys.
Cereal.
Come on.
Yeah, this is a riboflavin's moment.
The challenge is out there. So look, let's talk a little bit about first Fruity Pebbles, and then another cereal that's near and dear to your guys' hearts. But I always like to, you know, dig up some facts, some real hardcore information that a lot of people don't realize and should know when they're sitting around and eating their cereal. But Fruity Pebbles were somewhat interestingly, probably somewhat, you could suspect this, the first attempt to use like actual characters from something else to promote a cereal.
Interesting, right? Fred and Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's smart.
That makes sense then. And of course, they were obviously right on the cover of the box. They were right there. You know, that wasn't. I think I like the Flintstones.
That's a perfect co-brand. Pebbles, you know. There's a, I mean, one of the characters in the show is named Pebbles.
Yeah, kind of weird because you're.
I still didn't make that.
You're
connection.
Eating one of their
Pebbles because of that.
It's kind of weird because you're eating one of their daughters.
Yeah.
But a fruity daughter.
And like they, yeah, they, what, yeah.
Whoa.
Hey. yeah, and they kind of broke her up into pieces and, you know, put her in boxes.
It got real in the Stone Age.
Yeah. Originally, Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah.
Which are obviously kind of, you know, sister, brother products, if you will, were originally called Flint Chips and Rubble Stones. No idea how those didn't stick.
Which was which?
Cocoa is Flint Chips. I'm 90% certain.
Mm.
Fruity Pebbles is Rubble Stones. You can't even tell them apart. I mean, think about how easy it is to tell these two apart. You know exactly what you're getting, and these two, you know, are named. They're like even tighter to the characters, but not in a necessary way.
Sounds kind of British.
Yeah.
Rubble Stone.
Bonnie Rubble. Yeah. Trouble.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Past the fish and Flint Chips.
Yeah, Flint Chips. You know, it's like
Flint Chips sounds like wood chips to me, pretty much.
Hard tack. Got that.
Also, there have been about, I don't know what we got here, 8-9 different variations. I don't know if you guys have any familiarity with any of these. I'm going to list some of them off. Bedrock Blizzard. Fruity and Cocoa were altered to create Bedrock Blizzard. The limited edition had two different flavors in one.
Integrated cocoa and fruity.
Cinnacrunch Pebbles, playing off the obvious cinnamon craze of 1998.
Sure.
These are available in the United States?
Yep.
Wow.
That made it about 3 years. And like the list of limited edition cereals is long and inspiring, I think a lot would say. This is just for these two. Marshmallow Mania Pebbles, Iceberry Pebbles, Dino S'mores Pebbles. You get a little marshmallows in the mix, which probably
aren't
necessary. That's
the marketing team going a little crazy, I think.
Right.
Pebbles Boulders.
To a hammer, everything
looks
like
a tail wagging the dog, I think.
And Pebbles Treats. And I've actually got a very special box for you guys, which is not on this list, but is from my own personal collection that I've been saving for, this is like 14 years old.
This box?
No, just kidding. It's from around Christmas time. Limited edition sugar cookie Pebbles flavor Pebbles.
Super.
And I wanted to bring this here just for you guys. I've been thinking about opening this. I've been thinking about
keeping
it forever.
I see you are opening it fresh, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and we're going to, I think this is what we're going to hit today, boys. Mm. So
there's nothing like when you pop that box, that plastic inside is...
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
get
not,
a whiff of that.
Not all
Tell
plastics,
me what it smells like.
Not all the plastics are as easy to open, you know? I think General Mills had better quality control on the plastic.
Well, not just the plastic, but the top of the box.
Can
the top of the box, can you open it without ripping it to pieces?
I've been beating this thing up, moving it around, showing it off to people. You know, people are just handling this box. It
smells like a snickerdoodle.
I mean,
smells
these like things, pebbles. Exactly. These things taste like incredibly over-sugared cookies. This is the first time I've smelled them. It's tremendous. We got the kids on the box here. Bam Bam is wearing some earmuffs, probably made of pterodactyl fur or something like that.
Very rare.
And they tell you how to make cookies out of these cookies, which is also pretty interesting. So, look, we're gonna dump this into the bowls here.
Awesome. Does any child right now know who the Flintstones are? Like, shouldn't they update the characters?
I think the cereals have taken on; they've become something bigger than themselves.
Right. They can't get out of their own.
They can't. Well, I always thought it was funny that I love Fruity Pebbles so much, but I thought Cocoa Pebbles were just a second-rate cereal. I thought Cocoa Krispies, which of course is the brother sister to Rice Krispies, is fantastic as the cocoa.
What do you think the differences are?
I think the Cocoa Krispie is a slightly larger grain. I think it absorbs milk a little better. And I think the Cocoa Pebble, they always stayed, they went from either hard to like mush. There wasn't really a middle ground where they were just kind of retaining some milk, but also still giving you some crunch. Whereas the Fruity Pebbles, I just thought were a delight. I'm excited to try these.
All right, so let's call over Shane, our milk boy here.
Shane.
Whoop.
Get over here, Shane.
Whoop.
Shane.
Sorry.
So Shane's had another bad week.
Ooh.
Knowing that we had two guests coming and me, who also counts as a person who eats cereal, Shane only brought two bowls, the standard two bowls. So we've only got two bowls. Those are for you.
You know what?
I'm going to eat some of this stuff dry, which is fine, and I'm going to get in on it later.
You're yeah. too kind.
No, you know, you're the guests. Literally, you're the guests. Also, Shane, he showed up late today. We generally have Shane come in at... Oh, boy. Everything's fine.
Shane knocks on the door, we're good.
No. We have Shane come in at 6 in the morning. The show's not on until 5, but we have Shane come in at 6 and just have him kind of sit outside next to the dumpster as a test of will. And he showed up at 6:10, 6:15 this morning, and like it's not great. It's we expect a little more out of him. But here he is, and Jack, who's always the savior, our producer here, just brought me a bowl, so everything's good here. I'm going to pour myself some of these. Sugar cookie pebbles.
I feel so much better about this that we all have bowls.
All right, so look, let's milk this situation up a little bit.
Who's going to do this? Should Shane do this?
No, don't. No.
Okay, he'll probably screw it up. That being said, looking at this, I'm just glad we're looking at 2% milk right now.
Yeah.
I mean, milk.
This is you right here?
These, I'm not going to say it's 50-50, but the milk is such a huge part. And we grew up on 2% milk, which is, it's everywhere you want to be. Anything
above. I did too.
We had friends with whole milk. I had friends with whole milk, which is completely irresponsible. And then you have friends with 1% or non-fat, which is, it's a joke. You know, so I think.
Non-fat is devastating.
1% you can get away with. I have a friend that used to eat it with half and half because he was trying to put some skin on those bones, some muscle on those. It was, but that's disgusting.
Let's taste it.
How long did he do that for?
Too long.
All right, yeah, let's get in here. What do you guys think? It's extremely sugary, exactly as one would expect. Like honestly, the fruit for me in Fruity Pebbles was often too strong. Like this is more.
It's more of a subtle fruit.
This is more where I want it.
I'm getting a sugar top note. You know, the colors leave something to be desired.
I agree.
They're dull.
They're
duller.
Red, green, white. We couldn't add like a blue or a, you know.
Well, I mean, it's a holiday cereal.
Looks like Fruity Pebbles, but half the fun.
This is clearly a denominational holiday cereal, no matter how they try and cover it up.
It ain't Hanukkah.
I'm so Jewish, I didn't realize this had a holiday connotation.
I mean, if they've got the same consistency as Fruity Pebbles, which I enjoy. You know, the flavor's actually, it's a bit more subtle than the smell. When I smelled when you opened the box, I thought this thing was just going to be a sugar punch. But this tastes pretty much like the cereals I grew up eating, sugar content-wise.
Yeah. Look, I'm feeling this stuff. This is, I want this more than Fruity Pebbles, personally. And I was never, I don't have a lot of history with Fruity Pebbles, so that could be part of it.
I wish you had them here now. We could taste them side by side. Man.
The texture is tremendous.
Shane didn't get them.
I think that's the real, real angle. That the pebbles have is the texture because they're thin. That's I actually prefer cocoa pebbles to Cocoa Krispies because of the pebble texture. They're thinner. You get that crunch. I think they stay crispy longer.
I'd say also compared to Rice Krispies, which you know I think in some ways these are probably based on. Mm-hmm. They're similar, but yeah, more texturized. There's
so
more
the opposite
going on
of
there.
What I said before in terms of sogginess to crunchiness. And I hate to say it, but I think you guys are probably right.
Thank you for admitting that.
Yeah, I had to.
All right, well, tell you what, guys. Continue to enjoy this. Pour yourself another bowl if you wish.
Will do.
We're going to take a little break, play a little music, and we'll be right back with some more cereal.
As always, the break song is Meeting at the Docks by Rec Tech. This is cereal. Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Hey, Jack Insley here, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network. I hope today's show has got you craving some cereal, and as we all know, and as we've probably mentioned on today's show, good cereal is nothing without milk. Real milk. Cow's milk is not only giving you high-quality, complete protein, but calcium, other nutrients, all the stuff you need to build a healthy body. Turns out most American adults are not consuming enough vitamin D every day, so adding just one serving of milk helps address that nutrient gap. Other ways to get your daily intake of milk? Yogurt has milk. Ice cream has milk. Butter has milk. cheese has milk. It's not rocket science. Drink your milk. Real milk. Cow's milk. Or maybe chocolate milk. This is a show about cereal. Cereal goes great with milk. Milk is good for you. I think you get the point. And for more fun facts and information, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Applejacks. I haven't Applejacks for a while.
And now it's time for your weekly cereal news brief. This is your cereal news brief, your indispensable dose of all the cereal news that happens every 7 days in this crazy world of ours. Early Bird Foods & Co. is being sued by man-eating crooners Hall & Oates for their phonetic play on Daryl Hall and John Oates' well-known brand name. Early Bird produced a cereal called Hall & Oates, which the crown jewels of every hilariously ironic Yacht Rock Spotify playlist claim sounds exactly like their band name, which, again, is Hall & Oates. The suit claims that they are attempting to, quote, trade off the fame and notoriety associated with the artists and plaintiffs' well-known tracks, unquote, and have, quote, attempted to make a connection between the artists' names and oat-related products. Now, lawsuits and hilarious puns... Against hilarious puns? I can't go for that. Some would say that they're out of touch and possibly out of time, especially if they're running out of money to pay their lawyer. But if Hall & Oates won the suit instead of two well-haired men, and instead of two well-haired men were a single female, they would become a very rich girl. Sorry about all of that. But Hall & Oates, Hall & Oates...
Yeah.
Hall & Oates. Could you tell which of those was which?
No, not Hall when you Oates. Say it like that. I can't see the screen. I haven't seen the box.
Well, that's because I was saying Hall & Oates every time. So, of course, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
First of all, you hate to see that. You hate to see that. Mm-hmm. Hall & Oates going after a cereal brand, trying to show them some love. What's the best they have to gain out of this? I agree with you. I think they must be hurting to a certain extent on their own side. Spotify isn't helping anything, I don't think. It's sad. It's sad to see. I love those guys. I love their music. I want to try the cereal.
Yeah, I think, can we all just get along here? I'm in a Yacht Rock cover band, and we play Hall & Oates songs, and I feel connected to the group.
Do you pay them royalties?
Do we pay them royalties?
I mean, this is why they're going after...
You pay them respect.
Unfortunate granola makers.
Yeah. No, we don't. We don't pay a ton of royalties to Hall & Oates, but we pay our respects, and... I think there's room for this cereal in the world. I also like it's not such a weird turn of phrase, like hauling oats. You could haul some oats.
Yeah, you have to haul them so you can
haul oats.
Put them in the bag.
Yeah. I don't know. Can you defend that legally? I don't think so.
H-A-U-L?
Yeah.
Apostrophe N?
Yes.
Oats.
Well, N apostrophe.
Sorry, N apostrophe. That's that's the cereal.
It's a granola.
It's granola.
It's a granola cereal, basically.
Is it granola that's supposed to be added with to milk? Or to yogurt.
Well, I mean, people can do that either way, but...
Granola with milk is intense.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I feel as bad for them as anybody else.
Me too.
Next up, in a story from the Daily Telegraph that would not make Sarah, or most humans with any other name, smile, Jared Smith, the 22-year-old man from the Sydney, Australia suburb of Davidson, opened up a box of cornflakes and found... Shockingly, cornflakes, and also a 2-meter-long diamond python. So I clicked on my Bing measurements bookmark, and I found out that 2 meters is 6.5 feet, which is a lot of feet for a snake that's inside a cereal box. Smith, who has a really cool mustache, saw the snake, dropped the box, ran away like a man who didn't have a mustache, and called the New South Wales Wildlife Information, Rescue, and Education Service. They came in like not scared people, grabbed the non-venomous snake that many Australians have no problems residing in their gardens, and returned it to its natural bushland habitat. After everything settled down and Smith got back to eating cereal that was not filled with elongated, legless, carnivorous reptiles of the suborder Serpentes, he summed up the whole experience with a single sentiment, quote, "It was super weird."
Well, there's a lot of questions surrounding this story. I think we can all say.
Let's not give him too hard of a time for being scared by a 6-foot-long snake in his cereal box.
Was it in the plastic, though, or was it just in the cardboard?
I think it had taken up residence outside the plastic.
You have to, how could it be alive, right? Yeah. Run out of oxygen.
But it was alive, and like, he didn't feel...
No, I think it came from the factory, and then he opened up the plastic. And...
That's what I was picturing.
Yeah.
It's like the little jacket, the can.
Exactly, the can of beans. They start flying out of.
Wouldn't he have noticed the box was a little heavier than usual when he got it at the store?
I don't want to take a shot at the entire country of Australia, but like I think some things come there in like larger Costco sizes. I get the feeling this is more than just your single serving grocery store box here in the States.
From the pictures that I saw, it actually seemed exactly the same. Well, maybe slightly larger than a Pebbles box because a Pebbles box is small because they're small and. Therefore, you get the same amount of pebbles. You know, like a Lucky Charms box is probably a third again as big as this, just due to surface area.
Absolutely.
But it seems standard.
So, how much does this snake weigh? I think you have a sound point, bro.
I mean,
this has got to be a 25-pound box of cereal.
Just 10.
He thought he hit the jackpot. He thought he had the never ending box of cereal.
And these things, I did poke a little fun at them, but these things are constrictors. That's how they get you. They're not venomous, but. They do the old wrap yourself around you. I'm not sure that they can do this to humans. This isn't a John Voight movie. But
Anaconda?
I submit that the packing facility may have some quality control issues.
Six Sigma?
They should look into, yeah.
And that was your weekly cereal news brief. All right, so we did the Pebbles. I know you guys want to talk about another cereal that you love, and I think that you have some stories about that are charming and wondrous. So, second cereal of this episode is...
Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs. Let's talk about Cocoa Puffs. Where's the love come from?
Leah, you want
to... You know... It's like your favorite things. Typically, there's something you can come back to.
Yep.
About it. It doesn't hit you over the head with its novelty or its cuteness. Cocoa Puffs looks like dog food. Let's be honest. It looks exactly like dog food.
Dogs would be absolutely thrilled to have them.
Yeah, yeah. You pour that for a dog, they're gonna go straight to it. It's it retains its crunch. I would say longer than. Any other cereal.
Yeah, and when it gets soggy, it doesn't get that soggy. It's nice.
Right, the middle is still crunchy, even when the exterior is soggy, which I think we all agree is the sweet spot of cereal, that kind of, you know, hybrid zone.
A cereal without a reasonable amount of resiliency is not something that I want to be messing with, at least not with milk. There are some cereals that I, you know, eat dry.
It's got a lot of resiliency.
Right. Yeah.
I think Life is
one of my personal, like milked up nemeses.
Mm.
But by itself, you know, kind of dumping it into a cup and just pouring it into your mouth, I can handle that. So,
I've never really been a dry Puffs. Cereal guy myself.
No.
To each their own.
No. I mean, I get it however I can.
One thing that's nice is they actually, if you push them with your tongue against the roof of your mouth, they will scratch through the skin or through your mouth roof.
Like a Captain Crunch effect, basically.
Yes, just like the Captain Crunch effect. And the sugar and the chocolate enters the bloodstream faster than it already was.
Oh, I get it.
And it's like chaw.
You got like a lip dip.
It's like dipping with Cocoa Puffs.
When did you figure that one out?
Early.
Early on. Very, yeah, early. You get the drugs faster that way.
More drugs in more places.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Cocoa Puff comes with risks. There's something that can happen, which is, it's not just Cocoa Puffs, where you actually end up choking on the single Cocoa Puff that goes down, and it's kind of in your throat, and you're...
Yeah.
That's not one of my favorite parts about it, but did that ever happen to you?
Yeah, Cocoa Puffs, they're big enough to constrict the airway. But then, you know, you take your risks, obviously.
You've got to take your chances, man.
Cocoa Puffs also, I think, really a solid mixer cereal. Not that I'm a big mixing
You're talking about confetti?
Listen, Oliver's got strong feelings about mixing cereals. He calls it confetti.
Things are about to get wild.
But in a time of need, you've got two boxes left. Neither one has a full serving. You're mixing. And in those circumstances, I think Cocoa Puffs mixes very well. Flavors.
Fair. I also think at the bottom of the bag, when you're going for the dregs, oftentimes you're dealing with just dust and like weird kind of stuff that falls on top.
Mm-hmm.
And Cocoa Puffs are they're a little more compact. They're a little tighter. I think they keep their shape. The bottom of the bag, there's still something reasonable in there, even if there's not too much cereal left.
You're right. That's probably one of the more overlooked cereal properties is what's going on in that last tenth of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're not brutalizing each other.
No.
Along the way.
They all get along.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, when you finish your bowl of Cocoa Puffs, which is, it's sad, but the milk that's left over, I would rival as, I'd say, is the best, just about the best milk you can have left over.
It's chocolate milk.
It's chocolate milk. Yeah, it's not, weird milk. Colored.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, you know, like fruity pebbles, Lucky Charms, you get this kind of like off green.
There's a purple hue.
It's a lot of hues.
I mean, I don't like streaky milk.
Right.
I'm doing whatever I can to avoid streaky milk.
Also, it's nice when it has like a distinct chocolate taste as opposed to just like sweet, mm-hmm. kind of like weirdy
mm-hmm.
milk.
Yeah. Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, for instance, obviously a fantastic cereal. But the milk, it's got the little visible bits of cinnamon.
You're basically just eating runoff from the flakes.
You don't feel good about yourself, and it's so thick. It's almost like drinking orange juice with too much pulp.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Almost. Almost.
It's very, very close.
One nice thing about Cocoa Puffs also is the size of the box. Okay, you deal with Fruity Pebbles, you deal with, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. These boxes, I get about two seatings. I don't call them servings, I call them seatings. It's like table turns. Mm-hmm. Whereas Cocoa Puffs, you know, you can stick around for a few days. Whereas I can take out a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch in one night.
Easy. Right.
You like them because you don't like them as much?
I like them because they're bigger. They last longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not because you're just tearing them apart.
Yeah. Yeah. The smaller boxes that make you feel worse about yourself, that cost you more.
Mm-hmm.
Can we address just the serving size canard
that
all cereal possesses? Where a box, I think, I don't know what typical box is.
What does this one say?
12 servings, 16 13. Servings.
12 servings. 3/4 of a cup.
Right.
they're speaking to children. You know, this is trying to direct a 7-year-old. But
I think it's intelligent. I think it's very smart of mm-hmm. Post and General Mills, which is another conversation unto itself.
Right. A box like that, you get two seatings,
which I think is appropriate.
Here's the deal: 25% of our favorite element. What are these things? Vitamins, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Riboflavin.
Ooh.
So 4 servings of this, which is about a bowl, maybe a
about a half
one,
a seating.
That's all the riboflavin you need for the day. So, you know, that's exactly what we're looking for here.
Okay.
I'm glad that we're hitting so many cereals here. This is great, and I think we're about to hit another one. So, Leo, you've spent a little time in a popular band that people enjoy called Third Eye Blind.
True.
I don't know if everybody knows that, and you have a Third Eye Blind cereal story.
I do.
And
so,
I'm fucking dying to hear it.
You know, let's not build it up too much here.
I think I already did.
Yeah, I'd spent a couple years as kind of like the touring bassist with the band. Great times. And one of the things they did to maintain anonymity on the road was everyone had serial names for their hotel bookings. So that, you know, fans wouldn't go to the nearest hotel and just be like, you know, look up, what room is Stephen Jenkins in? So we all had serial names to hide our identities. I didn't, of course, need a serial name because no one was going to the hotel looking for my name. But
sure. I did that one time.
Yeah.
Except for that, yeah.
It was the wrong hotel.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean he's not at the Days Inn?
So I had to choose a name, a serial coming in for my moniker. My predecessor was Count Chocula, which is
mm-hmm.
a solid choice. And I think fit him. and I needed to choose a name, and I thought, obviously, with my strong cereal background, I thought long and hard about it, and I settled on Lucky Charms.
There you go. And nobody comes to the desk and asks for Lucky Charms.
Nobody
I find that
Lucky
hard
Charms.
To believe.
Also the hotel.
Like I said, we're at the Continental Breakfast, actually.
The hotel refers to you by your name. So I was like, I was Mr. Charms.
That's pretty sweet.
All right. This is fantastic.
I was lucky. Yeah. And frankly, I was lucky to be there. So it was just like, it was the right name at the right time. I cannot divulge the other standing members' names because they probably still use them. But yeah. Lucky Charms.
Well, we should have built that story up more. That was fantastic. So look, guys, every week on Serial, we like to close with our highly crucial Serial questionnaire. I'm going to hit you guys with a bunch of questions. You answer them, as people do with questions. And then that's it. And then we get kicked out of here.
All right.
So let's go. I'd love to get answers from both of you. We already know your favorite cereals or maybe individual cereal. We've been talking about a lot of cereal today. That's great. What's your least favorite cereal? What do you hate?
I'm going to go on them. I'm going to say Raisin Bran. I could never be about it. I don't like pulp in my orange juice. I don't like things in my things. I don't like confetti cereal. I don't like raisins in my bran.
Get it out.
I, too, have issues with things in my things. but I'm going to say, I don't even know what it's called. I had it in England like a couple decades ago.
Okay.
I think it's called like Weetabix?
Weetabix. Absolutely.
It's one enormous like log. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to kind of chop it up yourself.
Oh, they're terrifying.
Terrifying, leaves you a lot of work, tastes like nothing, gets soggy instantly. It's just a total, it's like a 1.0, you know, cereal. It's from, you know, 100 years ago.
Sounds far too manual.
Yeah, I know. It's just before cereal was fun. That's what cereal was, and it's the worst.
Mm. Get it out of here. Weetabix.
Yeah.
Milk, we touched on real quick. You're a 2% guy, Oliver. Leo, what kind of milk? Or?
I've succumbed to the 1%.
Ooh.
I'm a 1%er, but 2% is where my heart lies.
Good man.
I, too, have followed that path, which is sad to admit, but it's my truth. I wish there was 3%. I feel like there's room for that on the market, maybe specifically focused on cereal eaters.
3%, 10%.
I just think it's funny that you go from 2% to 100%. Whole. And whole milk is whole milk is 4%, though, isn't it?
Wait, is that what's going on?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's 4%.
And yet it's, but you feel like it goes 1, 2, 100.
Whole milk. And then half and half, I guarantee you that's not 50, or is it 50-50?
We may never.
I don't know what the other 50 is.
Okay. We're going to circle back on a future episode of Serial, I promise.
Okay.
If you guys, and let's, maybe we could think about these ones together and come to agreement, but if you could get bottle service in a fancy nightclub with any one cereal mascot, who would it be and why? Who do you want to party with?
I mean, Tony the Tiger is probably going to bring it. That's just my opinion.
You're kind of like Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, you know who you remind me of?
You've got some tigerish qualities.
You're a bit Toucan Sam.
Thank you.
You little birdie.
Thanks, buddy. I like the Trix Rabbit. I don't know.
Okay.
He played with the kids. He seemed fun. He's got floppy ears.
Yeah, he's wild.
I bet he brings it.
He's getting out there.
What about you? Sorry, I didn't mean to turn that back on you.
I thought we were all going to come to a consensus. No. My guy for this is Count Chocula. You know, like, it's nighttime, man. That's when he reigns.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. He's just sleeping all day in a coffin just so he can go to the club with me. What about an Eagles concert? Which mascot do you want to go to an Eagles concert?
I mean, Lucky. I like Lucky. Lucky is a leprechaun. He's lucky. He wears green things. I feel like he would get down with the concert with me.
Maybe the captain. The captain can make it happen.
He's old.
He's old. It's right. An old guy. It's an old car. I don't know.
That's exactly the right answer. Last one of these, dual birthday party at the roller rink. It's you guys. I guess this is a triple birthday party. It's your guy's birthday. It's a mascot's birthday. Who do you want to be skating around with? Eating some Elio's pizza. Just having fun.
I'm running out of mascots.
Captain. The captain.
Who's that? Wait, who's Wendell? Wendell is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go with that.
He thought of another mascot.
I'm going with Wendell and then the from Coco Krispies, you know, the monkey.
The monkey.
The monkey guy. Mm-hmm.
What about the frog?
Oh, Dig'em from Snacks.
Frog? Yeah, the frog was fun.
Wasn't Smacks there?
Dig him.
Yeah, dig him.
Dig him.
I'm not sure Frog's going to be good on skates. But
he's kind of hip-hop.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Who do you think deserves to be on a Wheaties box but hasn't been?
Steph
Curry.
Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, but he probably has.
They got to go win that championship.
And if not him, Draymond Green.
There you go, Draymond.
Yeah, Draymond will eat the cereal from the outside of the box. Last question this week on Serial, guys. before this afternoon, when is the last time you had a bowl of cereal, and what was it?
I'm embarrassed, frankly, because I, you know, we talk a big game about cereal. I just, the thing is, I can't keep cereal around the house because it just gets weird immediately. Like other foods, you can kind of control yourself and mm-hmm. ration it out, and I can't have it around. I just eat it immediately.
Feel bad about yourself.
And now, you know, I've got a daughter now, a 2.5-year-old daughter, and we've been enjoying cereal together. You know what? Okay, so here we go. We've been eating cereal together. I just don't, really think of it as cereal because it's these like Cascadian organic O's, you know?
Oh, ew. Oh. She's going to become everything you used to hate.
Let's go to Oliver for this question.
Okay. Recently I had a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which was really good. Brought back a lot of memories. They were all fun. And then I had a bowl of Honey Bunches of Oats, which is in many ways a perfect cereal. It shook me. It shook me. I had three bowls. I didn't just have one.
Seating and a half.
Exactly. That was one seating.
That's a seating.
One seating. One That's seating. A seating. Look, guys, thank you so much for coming out here, talking about some cereal. Everybody should check out Dos Toros. How many locations you guys have now? 3,000?
We've got 6 locations 30. Open. We are opening our 7th in Midtown at 45th and Lex in just a couple of weeks. So check us out.
Get after it. These burritos are no joke. Thank you so much.
Thanks, 99 great, Tacos. Guys. Check out 99 Tacos.
This is wonderful.
Thanks for having us.
A pleasure.
Everybody come back next week for a little more cereal. 5 o'clock on Heritage Radio. Download the shit out of this on iTunes.
Will
Bye.
Do.
Bye.
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 Bye, Shane.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.